wanted to take, to echo Rabbi Schnau, to take the opportunity to welcome back all the Talmidim who are on break, and to welcome all the new Talmidim, to welcome them to the yeshiva. Tonight, I think, is at least supposed to be the first night Seder of the new Zman, and in Yerz Hashem, it should be Moisef V'Halech, but it should be the first night Seder of many, many night Sederim that we should participate here in the yeshiva during the Zman. The Pasuk tells us in this week's parasha that when Paro responds to Moshe Rabbeinu's demands that he release Klal Yisrael, he says to him, "Mi Hashem Asher Eshma B'Koylo Lo Yodati Es Hashem." Who is this HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I should listen to his voice? I don't recognize this Hashem. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs Moshe Rabbeinu to perform a series of miracles in order to introduce, to acquaint Paro with the great strengths of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because of that, the Mefarshim ask, why did Moshe Rabbeinu, why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu instruct him to choose Nisim that are able to be duplicated and replicated by the Chartumei Mitzrayim? The first thing he tells him to do is to take a staff and to turn it into a snake, or to take water to turn it into blood, to infest Mitzrayim with frogs. Each one of these was able to be replicated by the Chartumei Mitzrayim. It's not until the Makkah of Kinim that finally the Chartumei Mitzrayim recognized Etzbe Lekimhi, this must be the finger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why not choose, if everything is at HaKadosh Baruch Hu's disposal, everything and beyond, why choose miracles that can be replicated by Chartumei Mitzrayim, particularly when he's trying to introduce him to the great powers that the Ribbono Shel Olam possesses? It explains Rav Schwab in his Sefer Mayim Beis HaShoeva that it's because Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was trying to highlight the power, the difference between the powers that was possessed by the Chartumei Mitzrayim and the powers that were possessed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because even though they were able to replicate them, but it was an imitation. The Pasuk says, "Vayikra gam Paro lechacham v'lamachashvim, v'asu gam heim chartumei Mitzrayim." Paro also called his chachamim and chartumim, and they also did it. Says of Schwab, that why does the word gam appear twice in the Pasuk? Because they did it, but it was different. It was an imitation. In what way was it different? So it continues, Rav Schwab, and explains based on the later Pasuk, where the Pasuk says, "Vayashlichu ish matehu," each one threw down their staff, "Vayu l'taninim," and they converted into serpents. "Vayiv l'mata Aaron es matoisam," and then the mata of Aaron consumed, swallowed up their matos. So ask Rav Schwab, why does the Pasuk refer to them still as matos? The beginning of the Pasuk said, they turn into snakes and serpents. Why then does the Pasuk revert to referring to them as Vayiv Lamata Aaron as Matoisim? It should have been Vayiv Latanin Aaron as Taninayim. Why continue to refer to them as Matoisim? It explains to Schwab that it's because their staffs, even though they turned momentarily, temporarily into serpents, they immediately reverted back to being staffs. Whereas the staff of Aaron remained a snake, and therefore was able to swallow up their immobile staffs, which turned back into simple staffs, but no longer snakes. So says of Schwab, that was the primary difference between the acts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed Moshe Rabbeinu to perform, and the imitation that was performed by the Chartumei Mitzrayim. That was performed by the Chartumei Mitzrayim was momentary. It was temporary. It lasted for a few minutes. But that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed, or instructed Moshe Rabbeinu to perform, that was permanent. And that lasted even longer. And similarly, we find later on in the parasha with regards to the Makkah of Tzvardeya, that even after Moshe Rabbeinu removes all of the frogs from Mitzrayim, the Pasuk tells us, "Rak b'ya'or tisha'arna," that some of the frogs, one of the frogs, remained always in the river, in the Nile. We never find that frog died. That frog remained in the Nile. Eternally, perhaps. What is the significance of the one frog remaining in the Nile? Rak b'ya'or tisha'arna. Why did it have to remain there? So it explains the Meshech Chachma that it's to teach us that when a Kadosh Baruch Hu does something, it changes reality. It's a new world. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the frogs or that infested Mitzrayim, and it was a remnant left over eternally from that which a Kadosh Baruch Hu did. Because it creates a new reality. And so too, hopefully, our attendance here at the night Seder during this month should follow the example of the miracles that was performed by Moshe Rabbeinu in Mitzrayim, not the Chartumei Mitzrayim. It shouldn't be a temporary thing, a once in a while pop in, or the first day of this month. It should be, Mir Tzeshem, something that's permanent. And we'll see if we do that, it can indeed change our reality, not only throughout this month for our time here in Yeshiva, but in building a foundation of Ruchnius for the rest of our lives. Keep on coming, it can change everything. I was told that during Night Seder we're learning the second Perek in Masechtas Kiddushin, so I wanted to start with the Mishnah, where the Mishnah tells us that Ish Mekadesh Bayu B'Shluchai, a man could get effectuate Kiddushin by himself or with his representative. Ha'isha Miskadesh is Bayu B'Shlucha. A woman can make Kiddushin either herself or through her representative. So Frakti Gemara, Hashta B'Shlucha Mekadesh Bayu Miboy, once you could get married, the Mishnah told us with a representative, isn't it obvious that you could get married or effectuate Kiddushin by yourself? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, mitzvah bo yosemi b'shluchai, is to teach us that even though one can create kiddushin with a shliach, it's preferable that you do it yourself, because since we're dealing with a mitzvah, it's preferable that you do it yourself rather than delegating it to a representative. Mitzvah bo yosemi b'shluchai, ki hadar of Safra, melchuk reisha, rav amalach shibusa. Like we have the example of Rav Safra, who used to cut off the head of the animal in preparation for Shabbos, and Rava salted his own fish. They didn't delegate it to others. So to here, we're dealing with a mitzvah, but it's preferable that you do it yourself, and that's why the Mishnah mentions Ish Mekadesh Bayu B'Shluchai, Ika de Yamri. But then the Gemara suggests a different possibility. Maybe we can't conclude from here that since you're dealing with a mitzvah, it's preferable that you do it yourself. Maybe there's another reason why the Mishnah mentions that you could create Kiddushin by yourself. You know, it's obvious. If you could do it with a shliach, certainly you could do it yourself. If there's an Isur to delegate it to a representative, a person is not allowed to delegate Kiddushin to a shliach, in which case he won't see the kala before the wedding. Why? Maybe he'll see something objectionable, he'll see something offensive, and he'll be repulsed by her. That if you have to love your friend as yourself, certainly one should have a similar relationship with his spouse. It would be a terrible thing if she's v'tizgana olam. So therefore, we can't necessarily conclude that it's because of mitzvah bo yosemi b'shluchai. Maybe the reason why the Mishnah mentioned you could create Kiddushin yourself, even though we could have deduced that from the fact you could use a representative, is in order to teach us this principle, that one is not allowed to get married. Rabbi Kiva Hagen, the Gilyan Ashas, quotes from a Gemara Mesechus Baba Basra, and after Zayin Med Aleph, where the Gemara comments on the Pasuk in Parashas Lech Lecha, that as Avram Avinu is preparing to go down to Mitzrayim, because of the famine, he's nervous that they're going to kill him in order to marry his wife, Sarah. So he's planning to present her as his sister instead of his wife. But he looks at her and he says, "Hinei no yadati ki yisho yafas mare'at." Now I see what a beautiful woman you are. He's struck suddenly by her beauty. So the Gemara comments that Avram Avinu had not looked at Sarah until now. This was the first time he gazed at his wife. "Hinei no yadati ki yisho yafas mare'at." Now I know that you're a beautiful woman, but until now he didn't know. So the Marsha asks on that Gemara, Mesechus Baba Basra, how could that be that Avram Avinu had not looked at his wife until now? But the Mishnah tells us at the end of Mesechus Kiddushin that Avram Avinu was Kiyemes Kol HaTorah Kula Ad Shelo Nitna. Avram Avinu fulfilled all of the mitzvahs of the Torah even before they were given. And the Medrash continues, even the Dinim Derabbanan, either Erev Chatzeros or Erev Tavshilin, but he fulfilled all of the directives of Chazal. So if that's the case, how could it be that he violated this principle of Amar Rav, Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, also the Adam Sheikadis Shaisha Ad Shirana? You're not allowed to get married unless you've seen your wife. And here he didn't see Sarah until this point as they're descending down to Mitzrayim. So the Marsha gives two possible answers. Marsha suggests that perhaps Avram Avinu did not fulfill Kol Torah Kula until after the Bris Milah at the end of Parshas Lech Lecha. After the Bris Milah, then he began to fulfill Kol HaTorah Kula Ad Shelo Nitna, but not before the Bris Milah. There must have been some point when this started, but he claims it started after the Bris Milah. Or alternatively suggests the Marsha that Avram Avinu had seen Sarah before they got married, obviously. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Osa La'adam Shekazin Sheisha Ad Shirena. But he hadn't looked at her until now, since before they got married, until now, many years later. So he had figured, he had assumed, that her beauty would wane, would diminish over time.
So just assumed. And now he saw her so many years later, he looked at her for the second time, and he seen that she was just as beautiful as the day they got married. So now he realized a new depth to her beauty, that it was something that was enduring. It lasted, and she was just as beautiful as before. And that's why he expresses some measure of surprise. Remember, each one is difficult to accept, but perhaps we could suggest a third possibility. And that is that Avraham Avinu had assumed that Sarah was beautiful because her appearance was very important to her. She spent time putting on her cosmetics and putting on her makeup. Sarah was known for her beauty. The Pasuk says in Parashas Noach, even before Avraham Avinu met Sarah, she's referred to as Yiska. It's a different name for Sarah. Why is she called Yiska? So Rashi there writes in Parashas Noach, because she was Seichah Beruach HaKodesh. She was drenched in Ruach HaKodesh. She was in Nevi'ah already then. Writes the Maharal in the Gur Aryeh. Why does the Torah inform us of this, that Sarah was Soicha Beruach HaKodesh? Is in order to teach us that Sarah did not achieve greatness. She didn't become a Nevi'ah only because she married Avraham Avinu. She was not only the wife of Avraham Avinu, but Sarah was already Soicha Beruach HaKodesh before she met Avraham Avinu. In fact, there's indications that she was a greater Nevi'ah than a greater Navi than Avraham Avinu. The Pasuk says later on, Ko Asher Toimarei Lecha Shema B'Koila. Whatever Sarah tells you, you should listen to it. Because she's greater than you in Ruach HaKodesh, Rashi there writes. So Sarah was greater than Avraham Avinu. That's why the Torah goes out of its way to call her Yiska even before she meets Avraham Avinu to teach us that she was independently a Nevi'ah. She was Seichah B'Ruach HaKodesh. However, Rashi suggests another pshat, that it's because HaKol Sachem B'Yofya, everybody wanted to soak up her beauty. Everyone was caught staring at her, because she was so beautiful. So Avraham Avinu had assumed that that's because her appearance was important to her, and she spent time, making herself look beautiful. However, now, they were preparing to go down to Mitzrayim, and they were trying to maintain a low profile. He told her, here, I don't want to draw attention to ourselves. I'm afraid they're going to kill me, in order to marry you. So he told her, maintain a low profile. So Sarah walks out and she said, this is me, low profile. And she looked exactly the same. So that's perhaps why the Pasuk says, now he recognized that it wasn't because her appearance was important to her, it's because she was naturally so beautiful. She didn't even realize it, how beautiful she was. Perhaps that's the pshat in another Rashi. Rashi writes at the beginning of Parshas Chayisara, Pasuk tells us that Sarah lived to be Me'ah Shana Ve'esim Shana V'Sheva Shanim. She lived to be 127 years old. But the Chumash describes it in an unusual fashion. 100 years, and 20 years, and 7 years. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, why doesn't it just say more economically, she was 127 years? Say years once. Why say it 3 times? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, that is to teach us that each one of these ages in the life of Sarah Imenu was significant. Because when she was 100 years old, it's like she was free from sin, like a 20-year-old. And when she was 20 years old, she was as beautiful as a 7-year-old. So the Mefarshim asks 2 questions on this Rashi. The first is, what does Rashi mean that when she was free from sin like a 20-year-old? Yes, it's true that Gemara tells us, Masechta Shabbos, that a person is not liable for Ein Shei Shamayim until he's 20, but anybody who's ever been to a bar mitzvah knows that a person becomes responsible for their actions once they're 13 or 12. So how could it be that she was free from sin? Like a 20-year-old, 20-year-old could have Averis. There's no Ein Shei Shamayim, but there could be Averis. And moreover, why does the Medrash say she was as beautiful when she was 20 as a 7-year-old? More typically describe a 20-year-old as beautiful more so than a 7-year-old. So because of that, these 2 problems, many switch the gears in the Medrash. And they say, no, the Medrash should be the opposite. The Medrash should be when she was 100 years old, she was as beautiful as a 20-year-old. And when she was 20 years old, she was free from sin like a 7-year-old. Solves both problems. However, we don't have that girsa in the Medrash. So perhaps we could understand at least partially our girsa that when she was 20, she was as beautiful as a 7-year-old. Even though we would typically describe a 20-year-old as more beautiful than a 7-year-old, that's there is a difference between them, and that is that when a 20-year-old is beautiful, they know it. You know, it's something that's important to them, it's a priority to them, they might spend time making sure that that's the case, but it's something they're aware of, and it's a priority. When a person is a child, is a 7-year-old, and she's beautiful, it's not something she's even aware of. It's not a priority for her. It's, maybe in the back of her mind, she's been told it, but it's not something that she pays any attention to or attributes. It's not, you know, the top of her priorities. I'm aware of it, but it's a natural kind of beauty. So writes of Leif Gurwitz in a Sefer Vanfer Arzeel that's the pshat in Rashi at the beginning of Parshas Chayesar. What Rashi means to tell us is that Sarah was naturally beautiful. It wasn't something that was a priority to her, that she spent time making herself look nice. It was something that was a natural beauty, kind of like a 7-year-old. And so too in our Gemara as well, the Gemara says, also the Adam Sheikadish Isha Ad Shirena, doesn't mean that the chassan should see the cow before the wedding, doesn't mean that that's a top priority. Even though the Chumash describes all the imos as beautiful women, the pasuk described in Parshas Vayetze Rachel as Isha Yafas Toya Yafas Mareh. The pasuk describes Sarah in Parshas Chayesara as Isha Yafas Mareat. Rivka is also described as Toivas Marehi. They're all described as beautiful women, but the Gra asks in his comments on Sefer Mishlei, why does the Torah seem to attribute significance to the physical beauty of the imos? What happened to Sheker Hachayin VeHevel Hayoyfi? And we say in Eishes Chayim. That physical beauty is vanity, it's falsehood. Why then does the Torah spend time describing or seeming to attribute significance to this? So explains the Gra based on the conclusion of the Pasuk, where the Pasuk says, Isha Yiras Hashem Hitasala, that a woman who has Yiras Hashem, so says the Gra, doesn't mean that the Yiras Hashem is praised, but when a woman has Yiras Hashem, Hitasala. Even the Sheker Achein VeHevel Hayoyfi, even the physical beauty, is something that's worthy to be praised. Says the Gra, what it means is that if it has its proper place in the order of priorities, it's not the top priority, her physical beauty. It's top priority is Yiras Hashem, is having good midah, is performing the Torah and the mitzvahs. That's the top priority. She also happens to be physically beautiful, so then that's something to be praised in the context of Yiras Hashem, when it has its proper place in the order of priorities. And so too, I believe what the Gemara here is telling us, that also the Adam Shekadosh Esher Isha Ashirena, it's not that this would be the top priority. It's a necessary ingredient in a successful Shidduch, that we can agree, that also the Adam Shekadosh Esher Isha Ashirena, but this is not supposed to be the top priority. It's only when it's Isha Yiras Hashem Hitasala, when it's put in the proper place in the order of priorities, so then it's something that should be praiseworthy, something that is advantageous. But getting back, so the Gemara says, so ish mishkadesh boyu b'shluchai. A man can get create kiddushin with a representative or with himself. Once he can do a representative, isn't it obvious that he could do so himself? So the Gemara says, it's coming to teach us, it's preferable to do it yourself. Why is it preferable to do it yourself? Because also la adam sheikadesh esher isha ad shirena. However, the Gemara continues that that's not the case with regards to the second clause of the Mishnah. Second clause of the Mishnah is Ha'isha miskadesh es bo b'shlucha. A woman can get married, create marriage, accept marriage, either by herself, in person, or with a representative. So why, once you say a representative, isn't it obvious that she could do so herself? So the Gemara says it can't be that it's coming to teach us that a woman can't accept marriage unless she's seen the chassan first, because the Gemara says Tav l'meisav tandu mi l'meisav armaloi. It's always preferable for a woman to be married than to be single, even if she hasn't seen the chassan. The Gemara assumes that it would always be to her benefit to be married. So that same principle does not apply in the other direction. So then why does the Mishnah say, Ha'isha miskadesh es bo b'shlucha? Once you said she could accept kiddushin with a shliach, isn't it obvious she could accept it in person? So says the Gemara, it's coming to teach us the principle of Rabbi Yosef, that mitzvah ba yaismi b'shlucha. The reason is, the Mishnah is telling us it's also preferable for a woman to accept Kiddushin herself, because since we're dealing with a mitzvah, it's always preferable that you do it yourself rather than delegating it to a representative. But what mitzvah are we discussing? You're dealing with a mitzvah, preferable that she do it herself rather than delegating it to somebody else. What is the mitzvah that's in the background of this Gemara? What mitzvah are we talking about? The Gemara doesn't tell you. However, the Ran in the back of the Gemara in his comments on the Rif writes that we're talking about the mitzvah puravu. There is no independent mitzvah, says the Ran, of Kiddushin. There's no mitzvah to get married. There's a mitzvah peruvu, having children. That's the mitzvah that we're discussing. Ah, but the Gemara says in the Sefer Yevamos and Afsamachem Beis, commenting on the pasuk in Parashas Bereishis, peruvu meluas haaretz v'kibshua, you should be fruitful and multiply, fill up the land, and you should conquer it. Says the Gemara that men are b'nei kibush ninhu, they're obligated in peruvu. Women who are not b'nei kibush are not obligated in peruvu. So how could it be that the mitzvah that we're discussing over here is the mitzvah of peruvu, and that's what the Gemara says, since we're dealing with a mitzvah, she should do it herself rather than through a representative. Mitzvah ba yaizmi b'shlucha, women are not obligated in peruvu. However, the Ran says, the alpha gav the isha ain't a mitzvah peruvu rivya mikomakom yesh lo mitzvah v'pnei shehim isayes l'baal l'kai mitzvah. So she serves an ancillary role, in that she assists her husband in fulfilling peruvu. So according to the Ran, the mitzvah we're discussing here is not the mitzvah of marriage. There is no mitzvah of marriage. What are we discussing? The mitzvah of peruvu, having children. And even though women are not obligated in peruvu, but she can assist her husband in fulfilling peruvu, and he is obligated. So with regards to her helping her husband fulfill his mitzvah of peruvu, that's where the Gemara applies, mitzvah ba, yasmi b'shlucha, she should accept kiddushin herself personally rather than delegating it to a representative. This claim of the Ran, that there is no independent mitzvah of kiddushin, all there is a mitzvah of peruvu, is echoed by the Rosh in Masechtas Ksubis. The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Ksubis on Daf Zayin that the nusach habracha for kiddushin is an odd nusach habracha. Asher kishan mitzvayis v'tzivan or arayis v'asalanos harusais v'hitalanos hanesulais lanu. The chuppah v'kiddushin, it discusses arayis and the institution of marriage. So the Rosh asks, what kind of bracha is this? This is not your typical birchas hamitzvah. So the Rosh claims, you're right, it's not a birchas hamitzvah at all. It's a birchas shevach v'ayda to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the institution of marriage. That's the nature of the bracha. It's a birchas shevach v'ayda. Why isn't it a birchas hamitzvah? Why isn't there a birchas hamitzvah for kiddushin? So explains the Rosh, that is because there is no mitzvah to get married. He says, there is a mitzvah peruvu, having children. But the Rosh says you can fulfill peruvu without getting married. How can you fulfill peruvu? You can have a pilegesh. The institution is described throughout the Chumash. A man who has an exclusive relationship with a woman, but there's no, not the benefit of kiddushin, there's no ksuba, no financial obligations. Exclusive relationship, which they could dissolve if they both decide. So one can have such a relationship with a pilegesh, and you don't have to get married. So therefore, says the Rosh, since it's not a necessary stage of getting married in order to fulfill peruvu, therefore it's not a mitzvah at all. And that's what the Ran is claiming here as well, that we're discussing the mitzvah of peruvu. There is no independent mitzvah to get married. If you want to fulfill peruvu, you don't have to get married. You can have a pilegesh. And therefore, the Gemara, when it applies the principle mitzvah ba yasmi b'shlucha, is really discussing the mitzvah of peruvu. And even though women are not chayav in peruvu, she's obligated to help her husband to assist him in his fulfillment of peruvu. However, according to the Ran, then we have a big chiddush in our Gemara, and that is that we would apply the principle of mitzvah ba yasmi b'shlucha even to this type of case. We are not performing a mitzvah right now. No one's performing peruvu right now. She's accepting kiddushin. It's going to lead you, enable you maybe later on to fulfill peruvu, but right now all you have is a hechsher mitzvah, a preparatory stage to perhaps later on fulfilling peruvu. And even there, the Gemara applies the principle of mitzvah ba yosmi b'shlucha even to a woman not obligated to peruvu herself. She's assisting her husband. A big chiddush to apply mitzvah ba yosmi b'shlucha to such a situation. Even though the Gemara gives us an example of mitzvah ba yosmi b'shlucha, the fact that Rav Safra was machrich reisha, Rava was melech shibusa. Rav Safra cut off the head of animals, prepare for Shabbos. Rava salted the fish. Even though that looks like a hechsher mitzvah, it's not a hechsher mitzvah at all. That's a real mitzvah. Preparing for Shabbos is not a hechsher mitzvah, it's a real mitzvah. The Rambam writes in Perek Lamed of Hilchos Shabbos that there's four mitzvahs aseh of Shabbos. There's Zachar Yom HaShabbos L'Kadshoi, Shamar Yom HaShabbos L'Kadshoi, the two Midday Raisa, Zachar V'Shamar, mentioned in Yaseres HaDibrois. And then there's two, says the Rambam, Midivrei Seifrim, Shinis Parshoi, Yidei Nevi'im. There's the pasuk in Sefer Yeshaya, where the pasuk says, "Karasa l'Shabbos Oineg u'Ktoish Hashem Mechubad v'Chibadatam Esayis Rechach M'Soyich Chavetzech v'Daver Dover." So there, the pasuk mentions two other mitzvahs: one of Oineg Shabbos and one of Kavod Shabbos. So the Rambam seems to indicate Oineg Shabbos means a person enjoys Shabbos on Shabbos. That's a mitzvah also. And Kavod Shabbos as well. Kavod Shabbos is a mitzvah that's mentioned by the Navi Yeshaya. What is Kavod Shabbos? The Rambam implies Kavod Shabbos means to prepare for Shabbos. That itself is an independent mitzvah. So the fact that the Gemara applies mitzvah bo yosmi b'shluchai to preparing for Shabbos is not surprising. Preparing for Shabbos is not a hechsher mitzvah. That itself is the mitzvah. However, to apply it to getting married, when marriage is not a mitzvah, it's just in order to enable you to perform puravu, and the only mitzvah we're discussing here is puravu, to apply mitzvah bo yosmi b'shlucha to that situation, that's what the Ran is doing, that's surprising. Perhaps so we can understand the comment of the Ran based on Rashi's explanation of mitzvah bo yosmi b'shlucha. Rashi writes, the first Rashi in the Gemara, mitzvah bo yosmi b'shlucha, d'chi ase gufay b'mitzvahs mekabel schar tfei. How come if you're doing with a mitzvah, it's always preferable to do it yourself rather than delegating it to a representative? So Rashi says, because it's good to be involved in mitzvahs. You get schar. T'chi ase gufo b'mitzvahs makabel schar tfei. You get more reward. Meaning, perhaps you could understand Rashi a little broadly, what he means is it's a good thing to be involved in holy activities. It's a good thing to be involved in holy activities to receive reward. It's only better than the other things you might be involved in. It's a good thing. So if that's the case, then perhaps we could justify the Ran. What the Ran is saying is, getting married, even if it's not technically a mitzvah, but it's going to enable a mitzvah. And even though the woman's not obligated in that mitzvah, it's going to enable the husband's mitzvah. So it's a holy activity. It's a good thing, accepting Kiddushin. So even if it's not technically a mitzvah, and since it's a good thing to be involved in those activities yourself, rather than delegating it to a shliach, so we could apply the principle of mitzvah boy, yoyesimi b'shlucha, even to that situation. Even to a woman who's accepting Kiddushin, which Kiddushin is not technically a mitzvah, even though it's not, it's only a preparatory stage to Puravu, which she herself is not chayvin, but it's still a good thing to assist her husband in his fulfillment of Puravu. The Rambam, though, in the Perush HaMishnayos, a Maseches Kiddushin over here at the beginning of the second parak, has a different shot in mitzvah bar yoyesimi b'shluchai than Rashi. Writes the Rambam, the Rambam says, when a person fulfills a mitzvah himself, he has a greater fulfillment of the mitzvah than when he delegates it to a representative. I think we can understand the Rambam based on like the common saying that if you want something done right, do it yourself. So the Rambam is saying, if you want the mitzvah fulfilled properly, you want to have a kiyum of the mitzvah b'shlei musoi, make sure you do it yourself, because you're obligated to do it. So if that's the pshat, the mitzvah bo yosmi b'shlucha, not just because it's good to be involved in holy activities, it's because your fulfillment of the mitzvah will be enhanced, will be completed, so now I don't think we can apply it to a preparatory stage of the mitzvah. It should only apply to when you're actually fulfilling something, to the kiyuma mitzvah. And indeed, I believe the Rambam would have a different pshat in our Gemara. The Rambam seems to would probably disagree with the Rav. Because the Rambam writes at the beginning of Hilchas Ishus, Perek Aleph, Halacha Beis, that even though Kaidu Matan Torah, says the Rambam, a man and a woman could meet and agree to have a mutual relationship, exclusive relationship with one another, and there was no need for a process or any mechanism to allow that, the Rambam says, Kaidu Shanit the Torah, once the Torah was given, so a person has to avail himself of the institution of marriage. Not allowed to have a relationship with a woman outside of the context of marriage. And the marriage itself, the likuchan elu mitzvah saseh shol Torah. The Rambam writes, getting married is itself a mitzvah. And in fact, the Rambam, in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, counts two separate mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah of puravu, and there's another, have children, and then there's another mitzvah, the Rambam counts in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, of marriage. Marriage itself is a mitzvah. And the Rambam continues, and the Rambam writes in Paragimel of Hilchas Ishus Halacha Chaf Gimel, that so too the bracha that we recite over getting married is itself a birchas hamitzvah, not like the Rosh. It's not a birchas shelo v'hida on the institution of marriage. It is rather a birchas ha-mitzvah and the mitzvah of getting married. It is a long-winded ad nosach. Agreed. Asher kisham zayisav etzivanu al rayas v'esavanu sarusayis. Could have been more simple. Asher kisham zayisav etzivanu al kiddushin. But the Rambam, it's a difficulty for the Rambam. But the Rambam feels that it is in fact a birchas ha-mitzvah. And that's why the Rambam writes that you're supposed to make this bracha before the chasen gives the ring to the kohen. Because it has to be oivel asiyasam. Prior to performing the mitzvah, like all birchas ha-mitzvah, have to be made oivel asiyasam. The Ravid disagrees. Over there in Perek Gimel, birchas ishos, the Ravid writes, ein anu oimen kein o makadesh v'achar kach mevarech. The Ravid says, no, first you give the ring, then you make the bracha. Because the Ravid's opinion is that it's a birchas sherech v'hedah, like the Rosh, on the institution of marriage. So if you want to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the institution of marriage, first you get married, then you make the bracha. It's not first that you have the bracha and then the marriage. That's by birchas ha-mitzvah. This is a birchas sherech v'hedah. Interestingly, the Shulchan Aruch passes like the Rambam, l'chadchila. L'chadchila, you should make the bracha of kiddushin prior to the chasen giving the ring. Ayva l'asiyasim, like birchas ha-mitzvah. If you didn't, but l'chatchila, he's supposed to make it before. L'chatchila, we should try and fulfill the opinion of the Rambam. Therefore, Rav Shechter suggests in his Sefer Bikvei Atzoin that that's why the minig is that the Masad Kiddushin always asks the chasan in front of the kohen and the witnesses, is this your ring? And then, so that the witnesses hear, the chasan declare that it's his ring, and the kohen also hears. And then the Masad Kiddushin is supposed to ask the Edim, is it worth a Shavar Pruta? So the kala here, she's not, can't see the ring, her face is covered by a veil, she hears that it's worth a shavapruta, and she's satisfied to get married with a shavapruta. That's what it says in the Mefarshim and the Shulchan Aruch. So when are you supposed to ask these questions? So the minhag of many is they ask it after the bracha, before the chasen gives the ring. Samuch to the chasen giving the ring, they ask these questions. So Shechter suggests that perhaps it's more appropriate to ask these questions prior to the bracha. Because if you do it in between the bracha and the chasen giving the ring, then perhaps it's a hefsek between the bracha, the birchas ha-mitzvah, and the mitzvah of getting married, and the chasen giving the kawa the ring. It's a hefsek between the bracha and the kiddushin. It would be probably be better to minimize the hefsek, to ask the questions before the Masad Kiddushin ever makes the bracha, in order to fulfill the opinion of the Rambam that the birchas erusin is a birchas ha-mitzvah over the kiddushin, to make sure that it's oivel asiyasam. Another difference between the Rambam and the Rosh is who makes the bracha. The Shulchan Aruch writes that l'chatchila, it should be the chasan or shluchoi, the chasan or his shliach. Why? Because the Shulchan Aruch is passing like the Rambam that it's a birchas ha-mitzvah. Who has the mitzvah of getting married? The chasan. So it should be his bracha. Or he could delegate it to someone, to his representative. However, the Rambam writes, they know achir mevarech. Specifically, someone else should make the bracha. So the Taz, Rabbi Kiva Eger, explained on Shulchan Aruch that that's not only to save the chasen perhaps, you know, some embarrassment if he'll mess up on the bracha. That's because we pass in perhaps like the Rosh Meikar Adin, that the bracha is a bircha sherech v'hedah. We might try and fulfill the Rambam l'chatchila, but Meikar Adin, perhaps we pass in like the Rosh, that it's really a bircha sherech v'hedah. If it's a bircha sherech v'hedah, so then who's obligated in the bracha? Not only the chasen. Perhaps the entire tzibur here is obligated in the bracha because we're witnessing a marriage and we should praise the Kaddish Baruch Hu for the institution of marriage. So if that's the case, then specifically someone else should make the bracha. Because of that line of reasoning, so Rav Yaakov Breish writes in his Tshuvas to Chelkis Yaakov that the Masada Kiddushin should not be the person who's necessarily closest with the chasam. You know? It's not his representative, according to the Ramah. It's a representative of the entire tzibur. So that's why many of the minig, many weddings, that they give the Seder Kiddushin to make the bracha to the biggest Talmud Chacham who's there. Because that's who the tzibur would want to represent them in making the bracha. It's not about who the chasen is friendly with or who he learned chasen classes with. It's who the tzibur wants to represent them in reciting the bracha, because it's really the bracha of the tzibur. One final, perhaps, a difference between the Rambam and the Rosh is, the Rosh writes in Masechtas Ksubis, that ideally you should have 10 people there when the Birchas Erusin is recited. The Rambam never mentions that idea, that you have to have 10 people there to recite the Birchas Erusin. So Rav Shmuel, Rizovsky explains in his Kedusha Rav Shmuel, Masechtas Ksubis, that perhaps this is linked to the larger issue. That according to the Rosh, that it's a bracha, Birchas Sherech V'hedah, that the Tzibur is reciting on the institution of marriage, So maybe you need 10 men there to constitute a tzibor, which is obligated to praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu for the institution of marriage. You have to have 10 men. Whereas according to the Rambam, it's a birchas hamitzvah, I don't need 10 men when I take lulav, when I eat matzah, or I blow shofar. That's shofar, a different thing, we blow during davening. But you don't necessarily need 10 men when you, do perform any other mitzvah. Why should I need 10 men in order to recite the birchas eiros in either? Because the birchas hamitzvah. So according to the Rambam, what mitzvah is our Gemara discussing? Probably not the mitzvah of puruvu. We're discussing the mitzvah of marriage. That's where the Gemara applies. Mitzvah ba yaisimi b'shlucha. It's a mitzvah for her to do it herself rather than delegating it to a shliach, because it's a mitzvah to get married. And therefore that she should do herself. She'll fulfill it better, said the Rambam, if she does it herself than if she delegates it to somebody else. However, the Rush argued, there can't be a mitzvah. What's the mitzvah here? The mitzvah is puruvu. Puruvu you can fulfill in a different way. It's not a necessary stage to get married. You can fulfill puruvu with a pilegesh. That's why the Rush argued there's no mitzvah to get married. The only mitzvah is puruvu. However, perhaps the Rambam feels there is a mitzvah to get married because there is no other way of fulfilling puruvu. Because the Rambam does not subscribe to the heter of pilegesh. The Rush said you have a different way, a different avenue to fulfill puruvu. Fulfill with a pilegesh. The Rambam writes in Parak Aleph of Hilchos Ishus Halacha Dawud that once the Torah was given and the institution of marriage was introduced, one is not allowed to have a relationship with a woman outside of the context of Kiddushin. And if he does, writes the Rambam, Zuhi Hanikres Kedesha, even if it's exclusive, the Rambam says that's a Kedesha that the Torah refers to in Parashas Kisetze of Loisiyah Kedesha Bivnois Yisrael. There should not be a Kedesh in Klal Yisrael. Writes the Rambam, Leficha kol aboil isha l'seim znus, but like Kiddushin, like min haterim, they shabal Kedesha. The Rambam says, there's no other option other than getting married. It's the only way to have a relationship with a woman. So the Ravid disagrees, the Ravid over there, and the Ravid says, no, ain't Kedesha, ela mizumenes v'muvkeres kol adam. Only if she's available to a multitude of men. Freelance with anyone. So then the Ravid says, that's a Kedesha. But hamiyachedes atzma leish echad ain b'lo malchus b'lo iser. There's no malchus or prohibition. V'hi ha-pilegesh ha-ksuva. That's the pilegesh. It's discussed throughout Tanakh. Says the Rabbi, that's allowed. An exclusive relationship, even though there's no kiddushin, the benefit of kiddushin or ksuva, that's allowed. That's called the pilegesh. So that's why, how do we paskin on this issue? Is one allowed to have a pilegesh? The Rambam said no. The Rabbi says yes. So it's actually two opinions, surprisingly, two opinions in Shulchan Aruch. And Eben Ezer, Simon Chav Vav, Sif Aleph, is one allowed to have a pilegesh. Presumably, we pass him like the Rambam, one is not allowed to have a pilegesh. However, Rabbi Yaakov Emden has a tshuva in the Shevas Yaivitz that perhaps we should revive the possibility of having pilegeshim to solve, alleviate certain problems of Shalom Bayis. Rav Apaiskim vehemently opposed this suggestion of Rav Yaakov Emden in the Shelas Yaivitz, that Adarabba, this would create many more problems of Shalom Bayis. This would not alleviate any problems of Shalom Bayis. And in fact, they quote in the name of Rav Chaim, Pasuk says at the beginning of Parashas Kedoshim, the Kedoshim Tiyu, you're supposed to be Kadosh. How does one fulfill that mitzvah? So the Ramban writes, not to be a novel Bershus HaTorah. A person should not be a glutton with religious license. With the permission of the Torah. I shouldn't sit and drink wine all day, eat meat all day. So Reb Chaim said that what is the definition of a novel Bershus HaTorah is a man who has a pilegesh. That's a novel Bershus HaTorah. It's a fulfillment of that. It's definitely not something, we assume we pass like the Rambam, that one is not allowed to have a pilegesh. The problem is though, the Gemara tells us in Masechta Sanhedrin, and Daf Chaf Aleph from the Aleph, that a king is allowed to have a pilegesh. David HaMelech had many pilegeshim. What does the Rambam mean that one is not allowed to have a pilegesh? And in fact, the Rambam writes in Perek Dalet of Hilchos Melachim, Melachah Dalet, that a king is allowed to have a pilegesh. Private citizen, says the Rambam, a head yoit is not allowed to have a pilegesh, but the king can. Why can the king have a pilegesh but not a head yoit, not a private citizen? So the Aris HaMelech explains based on Yerushalmi, Masechta Sanhedrin, that it's because once the king has a relationship with a pilegesh, she's prohibited to everybody else. No longer allowed to be with anybody else. So that's why it's allowed. A head yoit, if you have a pilegesh, the relationship will dissolve, she's going to be with somebody else. that the Rambam feels is prohibited. So explains the Aramech, according to the Rambam, what's permitted is enforced exclusivity. Either it's enforced through the institution of marriage, or it's enforced because once the king has a relationship with the Pilegus, she can't be with anybody else. She's prohibited by virtue of a different Iser. But if it's not enforced exclusivity, it's voluntary exclusivity. We decide we'll be exclusive with one another. So then the Rambam feels that's not acceptable. And the Ravid would allow that. The Ravid allowed that. The head you have to have a Pilegesh, as long as they're exclusive, she's not Mufkaris, Mizumanis, the Kol Adam, so then it is allowed. That's the Pilegesh that's being described by the Torah. So it could be that the Ravid and the Rambam are both Lashitasam. The Ravid holds as a heter of Pilegesh like the Rosh. The Rosh said, you want to fulfill Peruvu, one can fulfill it without marriage. Fulfill it with a Pilegesh. You don't have to get married. So since it's not a necessary stage in order to fulfill a Peruvu, it's not a mitzvah, therefore. And that's why the Rosh felt Birchus Eirusin is a Birchus Shevach Vaidah, not a Birchus HaMitzvah. And the Ravid seems to agree throughout. However, the opinion of the Rambam is the one is not allowed to have a Pilegesh. You need enforced exclusivity. And therefore, it's not surprising, therefore, that the Rambam sees no other way of fulfilling Peruvu than through marriage. So therefore, the Rambam, following the logic of reasoning of the Rosh, if there's no other way of doing it, must be that it's a mitzvah. And therefore, the Rambam feels, since there's no other way of fulfilling Peruvu other than by getting married, must be marriage is itself a mitzvah. Peruvu is one mitzvah, and marriage is a mitzvah, because you can't fulfill Peruvu without going through the necessary stage of getting married. So marriage itself is a mitzvah. And therefore, according to the Rambam, the mitzvah that we're describing here, the Gemara reads more simply, the mitzvah we're describing here is the mitzvah of marriage. And that's where the Gemara applies the concept, mitzvah bo, yoysimi b'shlucha, mitzvah bo, yoysimi b'shlucha. It's describing the mitzvah of getting married. There's no other way of fulfilling peruvu other than getting married. So therefore the Rambam feels that since a necessary stage, it must be a mitzvah. There is a third approach. We have the approach of the Rosh, and the Ran here, that there's a mitzvah peruvu, but you can fulfill peruvu with a pilegesh. You don't have to fulfill it by getting married. Therefore there is no mitzvah of getting married. The Rambam disagreed. There is no heter pilegesh. You can't fulfill peruvu unless you go through the necessary stage of getting married. So there must be that marriage is a mitzvah. And the birchus eresin is a birchus hamitzvah. There's a third opinion, and that seems to be the Ramban. The Ramban writes in his Kedushim HaMesechtes Ksubis that there is a mitzvah of getting married, like the Rambam. The Ramban in Ksubis and Daf Zayin, but yet the Ramban argues that the bracha birchas erusin is a birchas shevach vahidah like the Rosh. Why should it be a birchas shevach vahidah? If there's a mitzvah of getting married, why isn't it a birchas hamitzvah like the Ramban? The Ramban explains because ein asiya zug mar malachta. The mitzvah is not completed now. When is the mitzvah of kiddushin completed? At the time of the nisuin. That's when the mitzvah is completed. And so right now, all you have in front of you is a half a mitzvah. They used to have a year break in between the Kiddushin and the Nisuin. So says the Ramban, you can't make a bracha on half a mitzvah. A bracha on a whole mitzvah you can make, but this is not a whole mitzvah, this is a half a mitzvah. So that's why even though the Ramban feels there is a mitzvah to get married, like the Ramban, the Birchas Eresin is a Birchas Shevach Vahidah, like the Rosh. Because you can't make a Birchas HaMitzvah on half a mitzvah. What about the Rambam? Shouldn't the Rambam agree with that principle? You can't make a birchas hamitzvah on half a mitzvah. Presumably the Rambam holds that the entire Kiddushin is completed right away. The time of the Kiddushin, she's a complete Eishes Ish. However, certain obligations of the marriage don't kick in until she's living in the home with the husband. Until she's an Eishes Ish, Beveis HaBaal. He's not obligated to support her until she's living in his home. So when the Nisuin takes place, all of the obligations that should have taken, you know, been triggered by the Kiddushin now kick in, triggered by the fact that she enters into the home with her husband, and then they become effective. But really, they were already put in place at the time of the Kiddushin. The Kiddushin, everything was over. And therefore, the Rambam feels you can make a Birchas HaMitzvah. The whole mitzvah is in front of you. It's happening right now. The Nisuin is just fulfilling a condition that she live in the home with her husband in order for everything that you started now to take place, to kick in. But really, the entire marriage happened at the time of Kiddushin. Whereas the Ramban seems to be of the opinion that the Kiddushin accomplishes half the marriage, and the Nisuin is a second stage of marriage, which completes the other half. And therefore the Ramban feels he can't make a Birchas HaMitzvah here. All you have in front of you is a half a mitzvah. This seems to be a machlekes we showed him earlier in Masechtas Kiddushin. The Gemara has a suffix on Daf Yud, About Kiddushei Biyo, the first mission, the Masechta told us there are three ways to effectuate Kiddushin: Bekesef Ishtar Biyo, by transferring money, by giving a document of Kiddushin, a Shtar Kiddushin, or by having relations, Kiddushei Biyo. So the Gemara has a suffix, Iboy Luhu. Chigos Biyo Koina or Tsoif Biyo Koina? What completes the Kiddushin when you use Kiddushei Biyo? Is it the beginning of the Maise Biyo or the Tsoif Maise Biyo? So the Gemara concludes, Ka Abayo Daito Gemar Biyo. Everybody who has relations has in mind the conclusion of the Maise Biyo, and therefore the Kiddushin is affected at the Soif Maise Biyo. However, Taisus asks a question from a Gemara Maseches Yevamos. The Gemara says in Maseches Yevamos that a person violates arayos at the Tchilas Maise Biyo, at the time of Ha'ara. The Gemara seems to imply the same is true with regards to Kiddushin, is at the Tchilas Maise Biyo. So which is it? Is it the Tchilas Maise Biyo or the Soif Maise Biyo? So Taisus has a number of Terutzin. One tesis that Tesis has in the name of the Rashba is that it depends if whether the person was Geimer B'Yasai or not. If he was Geimer B'Yasai, then it's B'Soif Maise Biyo. That's what the Gemara says, Kol Abayal Daita Gemar Biyo. The Gemara in Yevamos is discussing a person who was not Geimer B'Yasai, so then it's at the Tchilas Maise Biyo. Or the Rivam says it depends on what you have in mind. B'Stam, the Gemara says here in Kiddush, people have in mind, Kol Abayal Daita Gemar Biyo. The Gemara in Yevamos is where you specifically stipulated you have in mind the Tchilas Biyo. Okay, so if you have in mind the Tchilas Biyo, so the Tchilas Biyo is kind of just like Arayos, you violated the Tchilas Biyo, you can effectuate Kiddushin at the Tchilas Biyo. However, Rav Nissim Goin, Taisus quotes, third opinion, explains, no, there's a difference between Kiddushin and Nisuin. Kiddushin is what's being discussed by the Gemara here in Masechus Kiddushin. That happens at the Soif Maise Biyo. Ko Habayo, Daito Agmar Biyo, whoever has relations has in mind the conclusion of the Maise Biyo. The Gemara in Yevamos is discussing Nisuin that's affected through Bia. So, Bia could serve perhaps in the place of a chuppah. So if that, when you're discussing Nisuin, that's when the Gemara said that happens at the Tchilas Maase Bia. It doesn't matter what you have in mind. Why should there be a difference between Kiddushin and Nisuin? If Kiddushin is the Soif Maase Bia, because Kol Abo Dato Gemar Bia, why isn't the same true with regards to Nisuin? So the Steibler explains in the Kilas Yaakov, Salvechik had the same explanation in Tosis, that it's because Rav Nissim Goin feels like the Rambam. There's a difference between what Kiddushin accomplishes and what Nisuin, the purpose of the role of Nisuin. Kiddushin is the transaction, or you know, the what creates the status of Esor Shish. And therefore, it requires your consent, it requires your knowledge, and it depends on what you have in mind. And that's when the Gemara says, Ko Abayal, Daito Agmar Biyo. Nisuin is really just putting in place or allowing all of that you accomplish during the Kiddushin to kick in. Some of the things don't kick in until she's an Esha, she's Beveis Habal, until she's living in the house of the husband, then he's obligated to support her and certain other halachas. However, Nisuin, therefore, doesn't depend on what you have in mind. It's not the same type of kinyan as Kiddushin. And therefore, it takes place right away. It doesn't matter that Ko Abayal Daito Agmar Biyo, what you have in mind. It happens right away at the Tchilas Maase Biyo. However, the other Rishonim seem to disagree. They seem to be of the opinion that that Kiddushin and Nisuin are two equal stages, and each one accomplishes part of the Maase Kiddushin. And therefore, if we'd apply the rule Kol Abayal Daito Agmar Biyo to Kiddushin, should have applied it to Nisuin too. And therefore, they come up with other Terutzim to resolve the contradiction in Kiddushin and Yevamos, not to distinguish in Kiddushin and Nisuin. Because the same way we say Kol Abayal Daito Agmar Biyo with regards to Kiddushin, we should say the same thing with regards to Nisuin. The Achrayim say this might be the Pshat and the Chakira that the other Achrayim have, the Avnei Miluim, Nor Sameach, Macheshes. Does one need Eidus L'Kiyum Adover by Nisuin? We know in order for Kiddushin to be valid, you have to have Eidim there in order to make sure that people understand the consequences of their actions and what they're accomplishing. And if you have Kiddushin without Eidim, it's meaningless. Do you need similar Eidim with regards to Nisuin? It's a suffix the Achrayim have. You would have thought it appears somewhere in the Gemara, but it doesn't. It's a suffix in the Achrayim. So perhaps it depends and hinges on this issue. If the machlek is between two days and Taisus over there and Kiddushin Daf Yud, the machlek is the Rambam and the Ramban, is Nisuin an equal stage of marriage like Kiddushin? So the Ramban argues, you only have half a mitzvah in front of you at the time of the Kiddushin. That's why it's not a Birchus HaMitzvah, it's a Birchus Sheva Vaidah. It's only half a mitzvah. The rest of the Kiddushin the marriage is going to be created at the time of Nisuin. So if that's the case, we should require Eidus Lakiyam Adav on the Nisuin, just like you had on the Kiddushin. However, if the Rambam says, no, you can't make a Birchus HaMitzvah on Kiddushin. The whole mitzvah is right in front of you right now. It doesn't come in two stages. the Nisuin is just in order so that certain conditions of the Kiddushin should be able to kick in. She should be an Eish Yisus B'Beis Habal. She's living in your home, and therefore you're obligated to support her. But in that case, it's not the same type of kinyan that's taking place at the time of Nisuin. So therefore, even though you require Eidus Lakim HaDavar by the Kiddushin, you wouldn't necessarily require it by the Nisuin. Okay, but either way, it sounds like the Rambam and the Ramban are on the same page. They both believe that there's a mitzvah of Kiddushin, as opposed to the Rosh and the Ravid, that there is no mitzvah of Kiddushin. Again, because the Rosh and the Ravid argued, what's the mitzvah here, Pruvu? You can fulfill Pruvu with a Piveges. You don't need to have Kiddushin. It's not a necessary stage. Therefore, there's no mitzvah to get married. The Rambam, we explained, argued there is no Heter of Piveges. And therefore, there's no other way of fulfilling Pruvu other than getting married. So, it's a necessary stage. So therefore, Kiddushin must be a mitzvah. And similarly, the Ramban argues that Kiddushin is a mitzvah. So we would have assumed, if that's the case, that the Ramban would be of the opinion that there's no heter pilegesh. That's why Kiddushin is a mitzvah, because you have no other way of fulfilling Purvu. However, in the Tshuvas HaRashba, Michosis LaRamban, Simeresh Pei Dawud, the Ramban writes that he feels like the Ravid, that there is a heter of pilegesh. There's another way of fulfilling Purvu. You don't have to get married. So if there's another way of fulfilling Purvu, you can fulfill Purvu with a pilegesh. So then why does the Ramban feel that there's a mitzvah to get married? The whole way we understood the Rambam was, since there's no other way to fulfill Purvu, there's no heter of Pilegesh according to the Rambam, well, you have to get married. The Ramban feels there is a heter of Pilegesh, and nonetheless there's a mitzvah to get married. So apparently the Ramban has a third position, and that is that the Ramban feels it's an independent imperative. It's of inherent value to be married. Not only as a means to fulfill Purvu, as a necessary stage to fulfill Purvu, but that is the ideal state of a being, is to be married. In fact, this comment is reflected, this opinion is reflected by another comment of the Ramban. The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Megillah that there are two mitzvahs for which one sells a Sefer Torah. One is allowed to sell a Sefer Torah in order, Lilmo Torah, or Lisa Yisha, to get married or to learn Torah. So the Ramban writes in his Mochamis and Masechtas Yevamis, even if you're going to marry an Isha that's Lav Bas Bonin, she can no longer have children, you're still allowed to sell a Sefer Torah in order to get married. It's nothing to do with Puruvu. The Ramban writes, because it's not good for a person to be alone. And apparently the Ramban feels that that doesn't mean companionship. It doesn't mean that it's good to have a companion. The Ramban feels that that's a heter to get married. The Ramban holds of a heter of Pilegesh. Yet the Ramban feels one can sell a Sefer Torah to pay for a wedding, because in order to fulfill that statement, that pasuk, you have to have the commitment, the responsibilities of marriage, more than the pilegesh. Only then can a person really reap the benefits of marriage. If you have that commitment, the financial responsibilities that go along with the institution of marriage above and beyond the pilegesh. Perhaps that's a pshat. Mar Masechta Saita. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Saita, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, that Ish ve'Isha and Zachu, the man and the woman, are successful in their relationship. Shechina beinayim, the Shechina dwells amongst them, because the letters of the name Ish, of the words Ish and Isha, are very similar. But the male has the Yud, the female has the Hey. So when they're successful in their relationship, the Yud and the Hey are joined together, and the Shechina represents a shame of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Yud and the Hey, and the Shechina dwells amongst them. If they're not successful, Mloy Zachu, you take out the Yud and the Hey, they don't fulfill the Torah and the mitzvahs, so then Eishach Lassam, then they'll be devoured, they'll be consumed by the fire of divisiveness amongst them. You take out the Yud and the Hey, all you're left with is the Aleph and the Shin, all you have is Eish. The Eish will consume them. So writes the Gra that that's why a Ksuba is called a Ksuba. Says it's a combination of two words, of ksav, vav, hey. Why? Because when you have a ksuba, above and beyond a relationship between a man and a woman, but when you have that commitment, the financial responsibilities that are carried, implied by the ksuba, so that's ksav, vav, hey, that adds the other two letters of the shem havaya to the relationship. Now you don't only have a yud and a hey, you have the entire shem havaya. Because that increases the relationship between the husband and the wife. The commitment and the responsibilities that are carried, that are implied by the ksuba. He continues that that's why a pilegesh is called a pilegesh, because the pasuk refers to many pilagshim, the pasuk in Parashas Chayesara, as pilagshim, but it's written chaser yud. Rashi's gears in the chumash is it's written chaser yud. So the Gra claims it's a combination of two words, of palag, shame. That you're splitting the shame of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. All you are is a pilegesh, there's no ksuba, there's no commitment, there's no responsibilities there. So then it's a matter of convenience, companionship, but it could dissolve, you can dismiss it at any moment without consequences. So then that's palag shame. Then you've distanced yourself, removed some part, the shechina, from the relationship. In order to fulfill fully, you have to have that commitment, the responsibility of marriage, above and beyond the pilegesh. Perhaps that's why, so pilegesh is another meaning or another significance to the name pilegesh, because a person can only fulfill the true fulfillment, the potential of marriage, if there's that commitment, responsibilities of the ksuba. Rav Moshe Shapiro, who passed away, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who passed away a few weeks ago, explains, whenever you have the two letters together, the gimel and the shin, so that implies, it represents two things that are really separate, but they're joined together. He says that's why when you have two sides of a riverbank, you join them together with a bridge. A bridge is called a gesher. So Rav Moshe Shapiro explains, because a gesher, the gimel and the shin, joins the two sides of the river, but they're separate sides. They're two separate things, but they're joined together. Well, that's why Klal Yisrael dwelt in Mitzrayim, where? In Goshen. That was their neighborhood. It was part of Mitzrayim, yes, but it was also distinct from Mitzrayim. It was separate, it was their own neighborhood that was set aside for Klal Yisrael. So it was a part of, but also distant from. So it's Goshen, the Gimel and the Shin. Separate thing, but there's a connection there. So to claims of Moshe Shapiro, that's why Pilegesh is called a Pilegesh. It's with the Gimel and the Shin. They're separate entities, but they're connected somewhat, a loose relationship. That's what you have when you have a Pilegesh. But in order to fulfill the true potential of marriage, to fulfill the shame, the Shechina Beinehem, the Shem Havaya, to be fulfilled, the Hayud Basar Echa, to become one unit, not two separate things that are somewhat joined, companionship. To fulfill the true potential of marriage can only be completed when you have that commitment and that that responsibility that's represented by the Ksuba, but it's represented by the institution of marriage. Then a person can fulfill fully the statement of the Pasuk in Parshas Bereishis, L'Tov HaYoseh Adam L'Vadam. Okay, sure.